Now, in message four, the subject is a profound parable. A parable is just a spiritual story, but it's profound. So I want to read the verses in a very exercised way. It's a very important portion of the New Testament. In Luke chapter 18, 1 through 8. And he told them a parable to the end that they ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain judge in a certain city who did not fear God and did not regard man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, avenge me of my opponent. And for a time, he would not, but afterward he said within himself, even though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow causes me trouble, I will avenge her, lest my continuation coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God, by all means, carry out the avenging of his chosen ones, which cry to him day and night, though he is long suffering over them? I tell you that he will carry out their avenging quickly. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, saints, the last part of verse 8 is one of the most important statements in the New Testament with the coming of the Lord Jesus. I'll read it again, but I just make this comment. When the Lord comes to rapture certain saints that are living an overcoming life, will he find faith on the earth? At the end of this age, the situation throughout the whole earth, and all the believers will be participating in it because they're human beings in the situation. And there will need to be a developed faith that we would be one with the Lord until the end. So the second part of the verse says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So now we will carefully go through the outline to begin to understand this profound parable. And maybe before I would do this, all of us in various degrees, have had a deep thought or some kind of concern regarding God. Because one aspect of God is to be hiding. We don't see him, we don't feel him, but he's with us all the time. But he would train us and he will perfect us that in the midst of our situations, our faith will be developed. Because the Lord will know by the end of this age, our faith will need to be fully developed. So, point one, in Luke 18:1 to 8, the Lord Jesus told the disciples a parable to the end they ought always to pray and not lose heart. This is a direct word to each one of us and to all of us. I believe I'm not alone. For more than 30 years, I've had the same sincere prayer. I don't want to say about whom it is, but a very important person in my family and in my human life. And some other saints, older saints that have known him, they've been praying hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prayers. But apparently, there is no response. But this verse, verse one, applies to anyone who is in this kind of situation. And I believe a number of you right now, there's someone in your heart, you have a deep concern, you've been praying, and that sometimes you would say, I'm just not going to continue, nothing's happening. And then a little bit of time later, the prayer is there again. And during this kind of experience, this verse says, pray and not lose heart. The Lord is with us, the shepherd of our soul. And he does not want any of us to lose heart. He knows the situations that we are in, but the Lord is going to strengthen us and train us that we will continue to the end. We're not going to quit after being in the Lord's recovery for decades. By the Lord's grace, we're going to press on until the end. Now, point two, the significance of this parable is profound. And we need to know God as he is revealed here. Just these words. God, as he is revealed here. So, in this parable, through our brother Luke, God wants to make known to his children an aspect of his function. We need to know God as life. In this particular parable, it seems that God is not there. It seems that God is not doing anything. The prayers are going on nonstop, but there's no response apparently. But what is going to be taking place is our faith is going to be developed because we realize God is faithful. I do not see him. I don't feel anything, but I will press on until his perfect will in this situation is carried out.
Point three, now we're getting into
the core of this. And then this will lead us through the crucial matter of the message and actually of the whole conference. I'll just peek a little ahead to read point four, quoting verse 8b. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When he comes to rapture the saints, what will he find? And the saints that will be raptured and be a co-king in the coming age, they will have their faith developed because they were led through this challenging situation. But it will just be a fact that a vast majority of Christians whose faith has not been developed, they will not have the particular kind of faith that will be required by the overcoming saints. And I believe it's been in the Lord's heart, message after message, that he wants to prepare all of us for the end of this age. It's coming close. I believe the vast majority have this feeling. We're nearing the end. And our faith needs to be developed so that at this crucial moment, when the Lord comes, he will find this kind of faith on the earth. Okay, back to three now. While our opponent is persecuting us, it seems that our Lord is not righteous, for he allows his children to be unrighteously persecuted. Quite a statement. We have evil powers opposing us. There's persecution. It seems that God is not righteous because we have an opinion, we have a feeling. God should do this. God should be accomplishing this. He should be saying that. We have our view, even we have our opinion about what God is supposed to do according to our understanding.
Then some may wonder, why does God allow this to happen?
Why?
For more than 2,000 years,
genuine believers in Christ have been persecuted. In one situation after another, the Lord did not just come in and deal with the evil powers. There's something deep in his being that wants to develop in all of his children, that when the final time comes, he will be rapture ready and mature in life to reign with him for 1,000 years.
Throughout the centuries,
thousands upon thousands of honest and faithful followers of the Lord Jesus have suffered unrighteous persecution. Even today, many are undergoing unrighteous treatment. While we're having this meeting, I believe many of us, inwardly, we have this sense, in this particular country, I'm not going to name to protect the saints, but in this well-known country, I know they're being persecuted. Many of them are in prison. Simply because they have a Bible, because they believe in God, because they believe the gospel concerning Christ. Those in the government, the atheists, these are the ones that they attack. As we all know, that's what Brother Watchman Nee passed through when he went back to China. So he was actually in the section that we just read. The suffering was beyond understanding. The unrighteous treatment. That's why this parable is so profound, because it's focused on this matter. B, our God seems to be unjust. It seems, because he's not doing anything to judge right now, to deal with the evil ones and to encourage the faithful ones. God seems to be unjust, since he does not come in to judge and vindicate because of this situation. The Lord Jesus used an unjust judge to signify God, who does not seem to do anything on behalf of his persecuted people. It seems. Because inwardly, suffering saints may say, is there really a God? Does God love? Does God care? How long will I have to be in this condition, in this situation? I've been on my knees too many times. I pray and pray and pray, and where's the response? It's seemingly that God is not righteous. But this is why our faith has to be developed to such a degree that we can pass through this kind of challenge, this kind of mysterious situation. We know God is God of not only love, but of righteousness. We don't understand why nothing is happening. But even though, humanly speaking, we have this deep concern, The Lord inwardly is strengthening our spirit, our faith.
It seems that God does not want to judge this evil one.
But if you have any genuine fellowship with some mature saints, either brothers or sisters, even maybe in different parts of the earth, you can just be enlightened from their fellowship. They realize God is faithful. It seems that he's saying nothing, he's doing nothing. But dear ones, behind the scene, he is acting in a marvelous way. And there will be a breakthrough, and he will be manifested, and the enemy will be put to shame. But in his wisdom, and in a kind of mysterious way, he is seems to be hidden, but actually, he's here.
Our God is a God
who hides himself. That verse is important from Ephesians. As the book of Esther indicates, it's worthwhile just reading Esther again. The situation when an evil person in the government wanted to kill all the Jews. And God, in his wisdom, behind the scene, remember the story? Oh, she married the one in charge, the king. And at the crucial time when an evil person wanted to kill all the Jews, the Lord behind the scene used her and her someone else in the family. But it seems that God is not doing anything. Is he going to interfere with this plan to murder all the Chinese, the Jews? But while all this is going on, the faith is being perfected. Yes, God is hiding. We need to realize that the omnipotent and omnipresent God, whom we serve, hides himself, especially when he is helping us. I want to pause here. This is amazing. Okay, we need to realize, not just to have an objective idea, but we need to realize that the omnipotent God, the omnipresent God, whom we serve, and we all serve, we're serving right now, whom we serve, he hides himself. And I don't think God would be bothered at all if we would say in the spirit of fellowship, God, you are hiding, but you are here. You are a hiding God, but I still have not only peace and love, but joy with you. You're behind the scene, but you are functioning in your wise way.
The God whom we serve
hides himself, especially when he's helping us. And I believe many of us, the Lord might, the indwelling Christ may just help us to reconsider this particular kind of situation that we went through. Someone had a serious heart attack, and they had to be taken immediately. But the Lord kept them alive. But while that is taking place, it seems that God is hidden. But actually, dear saints, he is right there. He's hiding, but he's helping us. We simply believe that. Just allow me to refer to that experience 3 years ago when I had the severe pain. And I went to the ER. Then I found out you need a quadruple heart surgery. There was just peace because God was hidden, but he was helping. Even in a very practical, physical way.
It will be
eventually glory to God, and with an aim to the, with a shame to Satan, the enemy, where the Lord can say, look at these people, these Christians on the earth. They don't see me, but they have faith in me. They know that I'm hiding, but they know they're real. And the time will come when I and my son will manifest myself. And these saints that have passed through this kind of situation, they will reign with Christ my son for 1,000 years. So I'm trying to emphasize the fact of the hiding aspect of God. So on our side, we should say, okay, just keep on hiding. It's okay. Who am I to say what God should do? But for some reason, my faith is developing right in the midst of this situation. Point three, we cannot see him. And apparently, he's not doing anything. Actually, in a hidden way, he is doing many things for us.
As your brother,
I just hope that after this conference, some of you will have just some particular fellowship, sharing with one another regarding this very point. We cannot see him.
And we would say for a length of time, I
thought he was doing nothing.
Actually, in a hidden way,
God has been taking care of me in a hidden way. Way back in 1959, this may sound rather goofy in a way, but I had this girlfriend. And then, after a length of time, she said, I don't want to be your girlfriend anymore. And that was a sad time for a young guy like that, because I had hoped that in the near future we would get married. But the Lord was behind the scene and removed her because he realized that at a certain time, some years ahead, I'm going to lead you out of Christianity to find the perfect will of God. And if you marry her, she will never agree with you.
And so it was
years later, I can look back, and I believe God is still happy to say, Lord, now I understand. Now I can thank you and praise you for being behind the scene for that situation. In a hidden way, I'm emphasizing, he is doing many things for us. And I'm glad on the screen, I don't have my face on the screen, I have you on the screen. And I believe many of you, as you're listening, it just stirs up positive memories when the hidden God, in his way, was doing many things for me, for my family, for the church.
I believe that
hidden God is functioning all over the earth with a vast number of saints, but he's hiding. And as he's functioning, yet hiding, our faith is being strengthened. We don't understand anything, but something is happening in our being. Our faith is stronger than ever before. My faith in the triune God is unlimited. I don't see, I don't hear. I know he's hiding. But I can just declare to the enemy, to the universe, I have faith in God, whether he's hiding or not. Because he's behind the scene. J.D., when our husband is apparently absent, and we are left on earth as a widow, temporarily, our God seems to be an unrighteous judge. It seems. And the enemy would inject thoughts. You think there is God being just? Why isn't he doing anything? Look at all that's happening. But he's not a God of judgment. He's an unrighteous judge, allowing these things to happen. I'm not going to name a place or a person, but in my own being, I wonder why God is allowing this person who has such governmental power to cause so much suffering and killing people? Why is he using sending negative things to bomb not the army, but just human beings where they live? Why is God hiding? Why is God allowing that to happen? I'm sure in the Second World War, in various parts of the earth, many saints had this deep concern. But we can look back, what happened in Germany, what happened in Italy. The Lord has his way and time to deal with the evil ones. Why? His children had to go through. We don't know. But I just pause for a moment. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses around 10 to 12 in that area, the time will come at the end of this age when God Himself will make it clear to the whole universe why this happened, why that happened, that in every matter, every situation, I was righteous, I was faithful. He's going to be manifested. We're just looking for this moment. But the God who will be the manifested God is not being a manifested God in our experience yet. He's still hiding. Although he appears to be unrighteous, we still must appeal to him. Appeal. Sometimes, instead of just praying in a kind of ordinary way, when the feeling, when the suffering is such an extent, we can't just have kind of ordinary prayers like in a spiritual way. We are appealing, almost like we're crying out. I can't endure. I can't go on. Look at all what's happening. We still must appeal to him, even if it seems that he's unrighteous, it seems that he doesn't care. Inwardly, our faith is indicating to us the opposite is true. He's functioning in a hidden way. Believe in the hiding God.
So, although he appears to be unrighteous, we still must appeal to him, pray persistently, and bother him again and again. This may sound strange, but Father God appreciates our way of contacting him. He will carry out quickly the avenging of his chosen ones who cry to him day and night. And I personally believe that some saints
I don't know if they're right here with us, but who are in Zoom, they can honestly say, I've been crying to him day and night. And surely many of us have passed through certain things. We want to have fellowship with God. We want to pray. But we just can't pray in the way we usually do it. We just cry to Him.
Day and night. And it's not a shallow crying. It's the depths of our
being. Crying to the Lord, have mercy. Lord, come in. He's still silent. He's still hiding, but he's still active. Now we come to the key point of this message. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?
The Son of Man will come. There's this hope that he'll come soon.
We pray that he will come soon. When he comes, the Son of Man comes. It's a question. Will he find faith on the earth? The perfected faith, the mature faith. Will he find faith on the earth?
Again and again,
I make the point that we all want to be prepared for the Lord's secret coming.
That the mature saints are ready for him to come. But from the Lord's point of view,
when I come, do you have the faith? If we are to be rapture ready, we need to have the kind of faith that needs to be developed, as revealed in this chapter.
Will he find faith
on the earth?
And I think it's important
that each one of us would consider this in a personal way. Lord, when you come, I want and I hope that you will find faith in me. Lord, you know I love you. You know I'm consecrated to you. You know I'm praying that we're coming to the end of this age. I want to be among the overcoming saints. I want to be in the wedding. I want to be a co-king in the coming age. I know I need to have my faith perfected. Lord, I ask you, do whatever is necessary that I want have the faith you will be looking for when you come. Will you find faith in me? Will you find faith in us?
I'm not going to name the
Country
country.
again, but there are saints that they're in prison. They're being persecuted. But they can honestly say the hidden God is functioning and my faith is being developed. When he comes to save me from this situation, you will find faith in me. Literally, the Greek words rendered faith mean the faith. Will you find the faith? So this is an aspect of faith, the faith. The faith of the overcoming saints, the faith in the saints at the end of this age.
This denotes the persistent faith.
For our persistent prayers, like that of the widow.
And right now,
many of you are having this kind of experience in your relationship with the Lord. Your persistent faith, your ongoing prayer.
Just like I
indicated earlier, I can't stop that same prayer taking place for 31 years. You just can't stop. Why the Lord is waiting, only He knows. But I believe He will make clear at the right time. And we just have our faith persistent. And our prayer is persistent, like that of the widow. We may feel discouraged and say, Lord, I'm done with praying about this. Then a couple hours later, you're praying again because it's part of your being. And it's the indwelling Christ praying within you. Okay, B, the faith through which we were saved is the initial stage of faith. Okay, so faith is in various stages. So we all had the same beginning. The faith which we were saved is the initial stage of faith. So all of us have the initial stage of faith. My heart aches when I see beloved brothers and sisters still in the initial stage of faith. They have faith. They remember their experience of faith when they were saved.
But the faith needs to
be developed of utmost importance. The faith that brought us into a life union with Christ is the linking faith. What's that? Linking faith. It's a connection between us and the Lord. The faith that comes into us through our contacting the triune God continually, so that we may live by the Son of God. Okay, we need to focus on this for a couple minutes. The linking faith. Okay. The faith that comes into us. This faith comes into us through our contacting the triune God continually. Now, please pay attention to the words that are here. Through our contacting God, doesn't say that. Contacting Jesus, doesn't say that. Contacting the triune God. The triune God. So this indicates that as we're growing in life, that we realize the triune God is dwelling in me, and I am dwelling in the triune God. Father, Son, and Spirit, but there's still one God. Christ is in us. The Spirit is in us. The Father is in us. We are in the Son. We are in the Spirit. We are in the Father. We are contacting the triune God. Not occasionally, but continually. Our whole being is saying, I need the triune God, not just Jesus. I'm an open vessel. I want to be saturated with and by the triune God. So contacting the triune God continually. Well, how do we contact? Well, not just when we're in the prayer meeting or in the Lord's table meeting, but continually. This is why I'm pointing out again. Our soul and our spirit needs to be separated so both can be functioning simultaneously. And inwardly, we're contacting the triune God because our mingled spirit is functioning. We need to have an inward contact. When I was referring to a previous message about two men in the field, two women grinding, one was raptured because they were contacting the triune God continually in their being, no matter where they are, or what they're doing, or what they're experiencing. That's why I bring this again. I would hope that a number of you in the near future would read the life study from Hebrews 4 on separating the soul from the spirit, and maybe Brother Watchman Nee's speaking on the same thing. It's of utmost importance, dear saints, that they're both functioning at the same time. So while you're living a normal human life, whatever the situation is, Again, simultaneously, at the same time, your spirit is active. It's contacting the triune God and some kind of indication inwardly will realize this is God, this is the Lord.
So that's why we're
emphasizing this, contacting the triune God continually, so that we may live by the Son of God. The Son of God is our eternal life. Now, the last portion, the linking faith, is the divine requirement for the overcomers to meet Christ in his triumphant return. Let's look into this as the message is coming to its conclusion. The linking faith, this is a function of the faith. We want our faith developed so that we are connecting with God. We are contacting him. That's what we mean by linking faith. Our faith is developing so that we are in contact with the triune God constantly. So the linking faith is the divine requirement for the overcomers to meet Christ. If we read carefully Revelation chapters 2 and 3, at the end of each portion, the word overcomer is not the word. It's an overcoming. I don't think any one of us, unless their mind is not normal, none of us would say, I am an overcomer.
But we can more and more say, I have the overcoming
Christ in me. And he's training me to become an overcoming saint.
That once in a meeting, the church meeting,
one dear sister, I'm sorry to say, she stood up and said, I'm part of a group of overcomers. Like I'm in a group. And she was sincere. But the enemy would be laughing at her. I don't think anyone here at this very moment would say, I'm an overcomer. Or our Friday night meeting, we're a group of overcomers. But we can say in faith, we are being trained to be overcoming the situations that we are in.
So the divine requirements for the overcomers
to meet Christ in his triumphant return. When he comes, we want to be one with him in this triumphant return. Linking faith is the triune God moving in us to link us to his unsearchable riches. And so may the Lord lead all of us to understand this word, linking faith. Our faith needs to be linked. It needs to be connected with the triune God. I'm repeating deliberately, linking faith is the triune God moving in us. Right now, may the triune God be moving in us. The moving triune God is the linking faith to link us to Him, to His unsearchable riches. So now this linking faith is connecting us to the all-inclusive Christ.
That I'm just yearning, hoping, coming to the Lord's table
meeting. And our response is something beyond just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We can say, I praise the Lord for what He did within me this last week. How I experienced Him, how I was linked to Him. He's all inclusive. But I thank Him and I'm encouraged by Him. But I'm beginning to actually experience aspects of the all-inclusive Christ. Lord, I've known this word, all-inclusive Christ, for years and years. But I want the all-inclusive Christ to become experientially real to me. And then the Lord might say, if He were speaking verbally, then you need the linking faith. I want your faith to be developed, that you are connected with me. And then I'll be flowing into you and through you and out from you nonstop. Two, linking faith is the faith of the believers who have no trust in themselves. Rather, they trust, their trust is in God.
Again, linking
faith. What is it? It's the faith of the believers who have no trust in themselves. Now, I hope, saint after saint, can sincerely say, I have no trust in myself.
Just saying these words,
we have to be very careful because it's real, it's genuine, or not. And that is, Lord, I do not trust in myself. The cross has been applying to me in exact ways again and again and again. I don't trust myself. And I don't encourage any saint to trust their self. Our trust is in God.
The Lord needs to terminate
any kind of trust in ourselves. And there are some that are quite proud when they got sick for a while, they say, but I got through. I'm a strong person. I can endure this, this one or that one, just a weenie. That is trusting in the self. We just simply trust in God. God is hiding. God is mysterious. But we have faith in Him. And we trust in Him. Our faith issues in trust. And then the final statement. When the Lord Jesus returns, He will find a number of overcomers who are living by the linking faith and will regard them as treasures for His kingdom in the 1,000 years of His reign. When the Lord Jesus returns, He will return. And many of us continually are praying, Lord, please come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus returns, what will He find? He will find a number of overcomers. That is, overcoming saints who are living by the linking faith. When He comes, you will find overcoming saints. They're living, but they developed in this way by the linking faith, linking faith. Living by the linking faith. I hope we will all seek the Lord. Lord, make it clear to me what is linking faith. But even more, Lord, please make linking faith real in me. I want to be an overcoming saint. But for that, I need to be living by the linking faith. Not just having it, living, living. Every aspect of my living on the earth is by the linking faith. And will regard them, this is from the Lord's coming, as treasures for His kingdom. The saints who have been living by the linking faith, they will be treasures to the Lord for His kingdom. That simple verse in Matthew 6, your kingdom come, your will be done. The simple prayer, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. The treasures for His kingdom in the 1,000 years of His reign. I sincerely have contact with as many of you as possible. It's been a blessing to be with you this weekend. But I believe we all have the same hope that we will see as one another as co-kings in the coming age. So now, let us realize, and we pray that every aspect of Luke 18:1-8 will become real and experiential And the outcome will be, we will be overcoming saints at the end of this age.
The Triune God
is blessing all of you. He will strengthen your faith. He will mature your faith. You will have the linked faith. How wonderful is the Triune God. Glory be to him. Amen.